Are you passionate about Kingdom Reformation? Join the Kingdom Reformation Leaders Community, a global network of apostolic and prophetic voices advancing revival in the church and reformation in every sphere of society. With your free subscription, you'll access valuable resources, upgrade to unlock exclusive content, plus our monthly live Zoom sessions featuring global kingdom leaders, and interactive roundtable discussions that equip you to apply fivefold ministry and apostolic strategy in real time. Don't just watch revival, be part of Reformation. Sign up today at kingdomreformation.org and take your place in the movement.
Welcome to the Kingdom Reformation Podcast with Glenn Blakeney. Here, the fire of revival ignites hearts and fuels a supernatural move of God throughout the nations of the earth. Join us each week for prophetic insights, apostolic teaching, and powerful conversations that will equip you to live fully awakened in your kingdom purpose. This is more than a podcast. It's a movement. Learn more about us by visiting kingdomreformation.org. Now, let's dive into today's episode.
Welcome back to the Kingdom Reformation Podcast. I'm your host, Glenn Blakeney, and today we're tackling a profound and frankly a little uncomfortable topic that I believe is actually the greatest crisis facing the church today. It's not atheism. It's not false teaching, though these certainly are real concerns. It's something far more subtle and perhaps far more dangerous. Have you ever been in a church service where everything just looked perfect? The lights, the music, the sermon, flawless. Yet you left feeling empty, like something vital was missing. That feeling, friends, is often the absence of power. Not just good vibes, but real tangible, move mountains, shake hell kind of power. We see people going through the motions, beautiful, well-rehearsed motions, but there's no fire, no anointing, no sense that God might just show up and completely wreck our plans. It's religion at its finest, but tragically, true Christianity at its weakest. The Bible warns us about this. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 5, Paul talks about a people that have a form of godliness, but deny its power. He wasn't talking about some distant future. He was speaking to our present reality. And here's the concerning part. Most of us don't even realize what's missing. We've grown accustomed to form without fire, to structure without the Spirit. We're like Samson, who didn't know the Lord had departed from him. Now, this isn't a sudden departure. It's gradual. It's almost imperceptible. Think of Ezekiel's vision of God's glory leaving Solomon's temple. It didn't vanish in a flash. It moved from the Holy of Holies, then to the temple threshold, then to the city gate, and finally, it lifted completely, stage by stage, step by step, until what was once the dwelling place of the Most High became just another building. This is precisely what's happening in the modern church. The anointing lifts so slowly that we adapt to each new level of spiritual compromise and emptiness. We become experts at substituting programs for power, entertainment for anointing, and methodology for the supernatural. And like Samson, we keep going through the motions, completely unaware that the very thing that made us effective has quietly departed. I've traveled to countless churches, and I've noticed a troubling pattern. While we often sound the alarm about external threats, the more dangerous one is a version of Christianity that looks authentic but lacks true spiritual authority. Think about how brilliant the enemy's strategy is. Why would he try to destroy the church when he can simply domesticate it? We're working harder than ever, often seeing less fruit than our grandparents who had half our resources but twice our anointing. Our perfectly structured services pose no genuine threat to the kingdom of darkness. But when someone walks into a room carrying real anointing, that's when hell mobilizes its defensives. Years ago, wrestling with why some believers walk in genuine authority while others just go through the motions, I found my answer in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. The devil isn't intimidated by our theology degrees or our perfectly crafted sermons. He's unmoved by our denominational affiliation. But what absolutely terrifies him is the presence of God resting on a yielded people. When Jesus stepped into that synagogue in Mark chapter 1, a demon cried out before he even spoke. It was the anointing he carried that made hell tremble. And here's the astonishing truth. That same spirit, that same power rests on every spirit-filled believer. We carry the same anointing that raised the dead, but carrying it and stewarding it are two different things. Paul told Timothy, "Guard the treasure that was committed to you through the Holy Spirit who lives in us." The anointing isn't just a spiritual experience. It's a sacred trust, a heavenly deposit. And like any treasure, it requires protection. I learned this the hard way. There is a season where the anointing flowed strong, but as ministry demands increased, my dedicated prayer time dwindled. It wasn't a sudden drop. It was a slow leak. What used to flow effortlessly became forced. The sharp edge of discernment dulled. This is Satan's most effective strategy. If he can't seduce you into outright rebellion, he'll keep you busy with religious obligations. If he can't get you to fall into sin, he'll get you to neglect the secret place. Remember the early church in Acts chapter 6? They recognized the trap of letting good works replace God-ordained devotion. The apostles refused to downgrade their devotion to prayer and the word. Why? Because apostolic demonstration ceases when apostolic devotion is abandoned. Fires don't just die from attack. Most fires die from neglect. The Bible addresses both threats. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 4:30, and do not quench the Spirit, 1 Thessalonians 5:19. The former occurs through sins of commission, where the latter happens as a result of sins of omission. Grieving the Spirit is often obvious. Things like anger, bitterness, unforgiveness. Quenching the Spirit is more subtle. Joylessness, prayerlessness, ingratitude, despising prophecy. A little compromise here, a little compromise there. I've seen more believers lose their anointing through neglect than through rebellion. Neglect is gradual. It doesn't feel like backsliding because you're still doing Christian things. You're just not doing the one thing that matters most, tending the fire. So what was Paul's remedy? He says to Timothy, his son in the faith, "Fan into flame the gift of God which is in you." You see, the fire must be intentionally stirred daily, deliberately. Think of the Old Testament priests in Leviticus chapter 6. Every morning they had to add fresh wood to the altar fire. It could never go out. Now we are now the priests, and our heart is the altar. God's presence is the fire, and it requires daily attention, fresh fuel, and intentional cultivation. Jesus himself demonstrated this. In Luke 5:16, it says he often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. He didn't just pray when crisis hit. He made communion with the Father his daily non-negotiable discipline. If Jesus, the perfect Son of God, needed daily communion to maintain his spiritual fire, what makes us think we can coast? There are practical benefits to the anointing. And what happens when we properly steward the anointing? Firstly, we see breakthrough power. Yokes are destroyed. Bondages are broken instantly. Deliverance and healing. The same power that healed the sick and cast out demons operates through yielded vessels. Supernatural discernment. You gain insight natural wisdom can't provide. Boldness in preaching and in witnessing. Your words carry weight in the spirit realm, transforming lives. Miraculous signs. The gospel is validated with supernatural confirmation. Fruitfulness in ministry. Exponential fruit with less effort. joy and fresh oil, supernatural joy, independent of circumstances, protection and authority. You walk in delegated authority, and hell's assignments against you fail. Intimacy with the Father is not just knowing about God, it's knowing God. Maintaining the anointing requires sacrifice, not just initial sacrifice, but honestly, daily sacrifice. The anointing is jealous. It won't compete for your attention or share space with your idols. It demands first place. The level of anointing you carry is directly proportional to the level of sacrifice you're willing to make to maintain it. It's a hard truth, but it's possible to lose the powerful manifest presence and the anointing that enables supernatural ministry. I've seen it happen to mighty ministers, but the good news, the fire can be rekindled. If you've lost the fire, return to first love. Go back to the disciplines you had when the anointing was fresh. Remove the ashes. Deal with any sin, bitterness, or compromise in your life. Add fresh fuel. Increase your time in worship, prayer, and the word. Fan the flame. Don't wait for feelings. Start stirring up the gift by faith. Pray in the Spirit. Protect the fire. Guard it more carefully than ever before. Demons aren't threatened by carnal Christians. But when a believer starts walking in the anointing, hell calls a war council. The anointing is both a sword and a shield, offensive capability and defensive protection. We're living in perilous times, and yet the harvest is plentiful. The world doesn't need more polished presentations. It needs burning ones who carry the anointing. People can argue with your theology, but they can't argue with transformed lives. They want to see the God who changes everything, and they'll only see him through vessels who carry his fire. You were meant for more than just church going. You were created to carry the flame that changes atmospheres, to walk in authority that makes hell tremble. But it requires vigilance, daily discipline, and intentional cultivation. Guard your heart, guard your time, guard the treasure of the Holy Spirit committed to you. Keep the fire burning, because hell is not afraid of your religion, but it absolutely trembles at your anointing. That's all for today on the Kingdom Reformation Podcast. Let's make a commitment to tend that sacred fire. Until next time, stay burning.
For over three decades, Glenn Blakeney has preached the gospel of the kingdom across continents, cultures, and generations. Introducing Kingdom Soundwaves, the exclusive podcast featuring raw, revelatory preaching that ignites hearts, confronts compromise, and calls the church back to Holy Spirit fire. From timeless sermons to fresh prophetic messages, these soundwaves are piercing darkness and shaking systems. Kingdom Soundwaves, the voice of the Lord, still shaking the gates of hell. Coming soon.